Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Sonia.
Try to say it like Luann.
I know. I think she's rubbing off on me a little bit. I know. Oh my God. That should have been playing tonight. Although, like, I feel we initially thought maybe her catwalk would be a little more like that. Like that type of music playing a little bit. But we were so unbelievably impressed tonight.
Yeah.
What so classy. Amazing.
Gorgeous.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another recap of The Real Housewives of New York. I'm Ashley Daniels. You can tweet me at Ashley Daniels. And I'm with my beautiful panel tonight. To my right,
this is Fern Ronay here. And you can tweet me at Fern Ronay, R-O-N-A-Y.
And this is Lindsay here. You guys can tweet me at Lindsay Wegner, L-Y-N-D-S-E-Y-W-E-G-N-E-R.
And it's Megan Stecher. And tweet me at Megan Stecher. It's M-E-G-A-N-S-T-E-C-H-E-R.
Awesome. What? First of all, you look amazing. You have that lipstick on you.
Thank you.
Just side note.
Thank you.
If anybody's watching, you can see Megan's beautiful lipstick tonight.
I'm dark and vampy.
Everybody now turned over to visual. I was really, first of all, we all were wondering what happened to the urn. And I mean, we were all pretty surprised how it happened because we kind of joke like, oh, what is she going to do? Check it in? It's like, okay, well, she did. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Megan especially? Because you had brought it up to me afterward, like we were talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, because last week I was saying, for this week, all I really wanted to know was how they're getting the urn. Like, did she have to pop in the seat next to her and put the seatbelt on?
Right.
So apparently they shoved it in the suitcase with Dorinda's fur to cushion it. And put it through, like, the check-your-own-baggage security lane. We're getting x-rayed and everything. Funny enough, they stopped them for a hand lotion rather than the urn. She thought they were going to think that it was a bomb.
Right.
And it was just hand lotion, and they wanted to chuck the hand lotion. So, good story.
I don't know how the TCA... Is it TCA?
TSA.
TSA. TCA, my gosh. That's Television Critics Association. That is not the air. I wonder how they go through, because there's certain powders that, like, you can get stopped for, like, protein powder and stuff. So I just wonder, like, how they, like, can distinguish. It beats me, and I will never learn from the Real Housewives, but
maybe they thought it was just, like, empty, beautiful pottery.
Maybe. But they did take her. I mean, it had to have been sealed up, like we're all saying, pretty well, to be put in a bag with, like, clothes and for a coat.
Yeah,
I would think.
Like, hopefully the lid can't just pop up.
Hopefully. That would be bad.
If anyone's in the funeral home business, comment.
I know. Please. We're actually really curious. But Carol is in a really good place. Seems like both Dorinda and Carol in a really good place after this. It was very, like you had said last week, Megan, very cathartic for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really nice to see them together. And I mean, Heather's so sweet. She's such a good friend. She's like crying when they meet up together, hearing about how her trip was. Did you guys think that they would possibly come back, any of them, or both of them, feeling badly, or feeling like now they're kind of caught in this rut where it's like they're now reliving that death, or did you actually think this would have been really good for them?
It was a possibility, but I'm glad to see that they came back and found it healing. I think they're both healed from it.
Yeah. I think so, too. I think that this was good closure for kind of both of them. And Carol saying, the urn is now sitting in my apartment where it actually should have probably always been. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the picture there, knowing that he's there with her. I think that that's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree.
It really did go with her decor beautifully. And I was like, she's right. It really did belong.
She's right.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
It was like gold and copper colors all mixed, like the metallics. And I was like, it's beautiful.
It was. It really, I know. It was sad. It was so sad, though. It could have gone both ways. Mm-hmm. It was healing, I think. But in terms of, this is really funny. So the headquarters, as Bethany says, she was a little bit confused as to where Sonia Morgan's headquarters were because it was in a rented office once and now it's in a new area. And she goes with Heather, and it's interesting that she brought both Heather and Bethany to.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
To this modeling casting for her clothing line. And there was an article today, I don't know if it was Radar, if you just Google Bethany Frankel or R-H-O-N-Y, you'll see, Bethany's talking a little bit about this circumstance and why she felt the way she felt regarding the models. But I want to know what you guys truly, I mean, you're not a model, are you, Megan?
No, oh my God.
Okay.
I wish.
Should be. So I'm like hitting on Megan all the time.
Thanks, girl. Do you want to come home with me? I just need a little encouragement.
And now he's the kid, actually. But for real, though, I'm wondering if you guys feel that it was appropriate to speak in front of the models, because Sonia did have a point about saying right off the bat, like, if you have the casting or not. I think Lindsay can definitely attest to this, being an actress. You would probably want to know if you got the job immediately, right? Not that this is the same thing as acting, but in general.
It is nice to know right away whether or not. I mean, and for the most part, people are polite enough and say, thank you, you did a great job. Thank you. We'll let you know. Because they also have, if they're starting the day, they've got 30, 50, 100 more people to see. So they can't necessarily tell you right away. Maybe on a casting call with a modeling call like that where you're going to call 15 girls, then you may be able to say, if someone really knocks your socks off, you may be able to say, yes, she's in for sure. But you can't normally say right away. I don't think talking about their size and giving all that information, I think that's a little bit TMI. And as much as we all appreciate the honesty, I just don't think that that needs, those are things that don't need to be said. Like Bethany said, this girl's going to go and kill herself now, which she's not going to.
Right, right. That's just some sarcasm.
It is a tough enough world where we are getting rejected on a regular basis. So it just saying, thank you so much, I appreciate you coming in. That's all that needs to be said.
And then you find out from your agent
find out they email you.
Or you just don't get a call.
You don't get a call at all. And the thing is, you leave the room, and I usually call my mom immediately following, just say, hey, this is what happened, this is how it was, and then I'm done. You have to let it go, because if you sit there and wonder, am I going to get it? Oh, it's been 6 hours. Okay, it's been 2 days. I haven't heard. Like, you could drive yourself crazy.
I'm sure.
So you just let it go. And then sometimes you get a call a few days later. Sometimes you get a call a couple weeks later. You're like, yeah, wow, I didn't even think. I totally forgot about this.
Right.
So I think that Heather and Bethany were both on the right track, saying, let's just hold back on the comments. And then the arguing in front of the models. If I saw that, I'd be like, I do not want to work for this company. If they can't get their stuff together right now, they're not going to get, rehearsals are going to be behind, schedule's going to be bad, they're not going to get along on set. These are all things that go through your mind too.
Okay, so not to cut you off, but just going into that, do you think that in terms of this type of casting, being that it was a TV show and that these girls did know they would get a lot of good exposure, I don't think, in my opinion, they would have been turned off in this instance. Although, normal instances, of course, that would be really strange.
Sometimes you have to say no. And if you're seeing that much go on, and I've auditioned for some fairly good things, and if you see something like that, it is a red flag.
Yeah.
Are you going to turn down, being on Masters of Sex or, The Strain or some big TV show just because you see that? Maybe not, but an actor that's actually a well-known actor may go,
Right.
No, I'm done. I'm not going to do this.
Okay, so then, all right, so anybody else have an opinion about the modeling and if
I mean, it was I didn't think, I don't know if that normally goes on at modeling castings, but there's a couple times where I did some stuff where, you know, they just like give you a polite smile and say thank you. Like, how can they tell you no when they don't know who else is coming in? You know, no one really says yes or no right to your face. Mm-hmm. So I thought that that whole thing was strange about it.
Right. I think they did know they must have expected going into this, there's going to be some drama or something. They're not going to, there's no way these girls are going to go in thinking, okay, this is going to be like very light and fun and we're going to be like, they're going to be quiet and be like, yes, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this instance, you know, at least.
Bethany and Heather went in on false pretenses because mm-hmm. they thought they were going in to see clothes.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point.
And then they were going in and finding out that there was a model call. And then when Heather and Bethany were asking genuine, good business sense questions, they were kind of getting shot down by Sonia's people. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know we all felt a little bit like, what's going on here?
Yes, absolutely. So let's go into that. So the man that we've seen many times, I don't think we have his name.
He's
the man that runs the headquarters for Sonia, I believe. And they had to give him some did they give him some subtitles tonight? Because I know we always have subtitles anyway.
Oh, I don't know.
I think they did give him something.
Yeah, I thought they did too. He was expressing, you know, how he felt about what Heather was asking regarding what types of clothing designers they would want Sonia's clothing line to be around. And he kind of dodged the question and then kind of didn't really understand it. And then Bethany's like, what she's saying is, if you're going to be Mo, Larry, and Harry or whatever, who do you want to hang out with? Those are your friends. Same thing. Like, if this is your clothing line, what other clothing line do you want your clothing line to be friends with? And he kind of... So, on the flip side, it's like, no matter how Heather and Bethany come into that situation, they're going to, because they're so smart, it's going to be hard to make this man look good. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to look good. You're going to have to be really savvy and really articulate and really on your game to fire back at those two.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of them enough is difficult. Mm-hmm. So, how did you guys think he handled that situation with Bethany and Heather? Do you think that he goes in there, because now he's already gone there once before with Bethany, he's mm-hmm. opted to do this again, knowing that, you know, that last situation didn't go down so well.
But those are valid questions.
Yeah.
They're not asking questions that aren't...
No, of course. But but the way he responds, it doesn't always make him look like the best light.
Do you think he answered, like, these two brands and they cut it and just to make him... Just have a conflict? I don't know.
I don't know.
But I'm happy for Sonia that she found somebody who talks as crazy as she does. Like, she never made any sense whenever they ask a direct question to her about her fashion line. She never had an answer. This guy's the same way.
So maybe they understand each other.
Very simpatico with those two.
Simpatico. I know that word. But I'm Spanish.
I find it hilarious that, okay, the clothes are now ordered and designed and everything, and still no one has answers. Like, hilarious. Yeah. Like, you can do nothing but laugh and be so confused. Like, they make no sense.
I think that whole meeting was a little bit of a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes to show that later on when we see the fashion show, it was kind of a train wreck. Aside from the clothes. The clothes mm-hmm. are beautiful. But the whole prep of it was a train wreck, too.
Right.
Like, why weren't all of those people that are always involved with all the fashion stuff there?
Unless they were on camera, but they definitely, we didn't see them, for sure. We saw a lot of interns.
Yeah. She should pay her, does she not pay her interns?
I think she said she doesn't.
I think the pay is like, Sonia's name is on my resume.
Which
you're
is
on
good,
camera.
But yeah, maybe she's not getting quality.
Yeah, you get what you pay for, or lack thereof.
Speaking of names, let's talk about one of our sponsors
who brings
AfterBuzz to you guys for free so that you can enjoy our conversations that we have about The Real Housewives and all your other favorite AfterBuzz shows. And today's sponsor is Mazda. Does driving matter to you? Driving with the windows down, the wind blowing through your hair. I'm getting a little bit nervous because we said this earlier and we were joking around. Sorry, guys. The wind blowing through your hair, the smell of pine trees and fresh asphalt. You look forward to these moments just when it's you in the road. No distractions, handling every curve and feeling every nuance in the road. So ask yourself, does driving matter to you? If it does, we build cars just for you because to us, driving matters. Mazda.
Can we just give props to you for always doing this?
I know.
I was just going to say that.
You do a really good job every week, and you make, you know, Mazda's a great company, and you do a really good job at showing thanks. That.
We thanks, make ladies. You do it because you do it so well.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Great, sexy. Thanks.
Exactly. How do we how do we follow that? Okay.
We need to have fun with it sometime. Miles, you guys need to give us a silly one of these days just so we can
I think we like shoot a little commercial and a convertible in our Mazda.
Kristen, send us a Mazda that we can shoot a commercial in. That would be great.
We'll roll it right into the show.
That would be great. Okay, so in terms of Heather and Bethany, so they go and they kind of, in a sense, bond from this situation. You can kind of see that they kind of...
are on the same page.
Yeah, they're on the same page, which I've kind of seen a lot tonight. With the two of them. So then we have Ramona and Dorinda. They go to lunch, and Ramona's just got her hair done. She's just on cloud nine, so happy. She met, and do you guys know the name of the
yeah, I've been there. I've been to a wedding there and a holiday party there.
You're a New Yorker. So tell me a little bit about this place.
No, it's a really nice restaurant. There's one in Midtown. There's one on Wall Street, and it's just a...
Is there a chain or is it just a couple?
No, it's like a high-end... awesome restaurant.
Cipriani?
Great building. Cipriani, yeah.
Cipriani. Okay, so she met the father?
The owner, I guess.
Okay,
yeah, I don't know too much about who owns it.
Is it delicious?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Really?
Amazing.
And
good food. My parents went into the city and they had lunch at this place, Cipriani, and we had two sandwiches. It cost us $150.
No.
Really...
You know, nice. Lala Anthony and Carmelo Anthony got married there.
Yeah, I went to a wedding there. Not their wedding, but I went to a wedding there on the 42nd Street one a few years ago.
So this beautiful. Guy must be single, the guy that owns this place.
According to Ramona, but yeah. I don't know. We may need to Google that.
Yeah, we might need to. So, and she got a free dinner from this, and she seemed like she was just really getting a fresh start. She was excited about what's ahead for her, you know? I think that she needed that attention a little bit from the male species who are on the successful page in life. And they're just a little bit older and more established. And it made her feel like, okay, I have hope. Mm-hmm. She was so excited that she went, and that's what she talked to Dorinda about. So it was really cute. And Dorinda tells her a lot about the trip and how it went really well and how she bonded with Carol and how she didn't know that Carol was this cool. And they go on and to say that they think it might be because Heather wasn't there to kind of... Dorinda blocked the situation,
yeah.
I guess. Did you guys feel like you saw a different Dorinda in London than you usually do? A different Carol than you usually do.
I thought Dorinda was different. I thought Dorinda was more open and talking, you know, more openly. And I feel like Carol is always kind of the same even-keeled personality. And I think they just both had a chance to bond with each other.
I agree. I didn't see a different Carol. Mm-hmm. I meant to say Carol, by the way. Carol blocked. I'm messing all these people up. Carol, they both agree that Carol was different now that Heather wasn't there. And Dorinda bonded with Carol. So you guys, do you see the same Carol every time? I always do. I'm just wondering.
I didn't agree.
We were also not there. I'm sure it's a little bit different when Heather's there. But I can't see that being a bad thing.
I think Heather probably does change the dynamic, but I don't think it changes Carol's personality. It might change the dynamic in the room a little bit. Maybe they don't have a chance to talk.
Right.
Where now they had a chance to really talk and get to know each other.
That's got to be what it is. Yeah. I mean, I do see Heather and Carol when they're together. It's kind of like... You don't see Carol kind of going off by herself. She is kind of with Heather, I would think, most of the time, right? Do you feel like there's any... For them both to say this and both to agree to it, I'm just curious why, you know? I mean, maybe there's stuff we're not seeing, but...
I feel like it's just something she said and put out there, and then there was, like, an agreement. Because they're, like, drinking wine and gossiping over lunch.
I feel like before, though, it was said that, like, Carol sometimes her wingman or something... Not wingman, what is it? Like,
they said she's... They said
her lackey.
Yeah,
don't be her lackey. Yeah.
Right. So I don't know, but it's great that they got to bond a lot more, obviously, and she did share that with her. And then the part that we're all going to be like most excited to talk about, because we love talking about John for some weird reason. We're just really into John, and she said that John was like so clingy and worried about her that he called hotel security in London because she didn't answer her cell phone and was so worried about her, and then he calls her all the time, and he's very needy.
Mm-hmm.
That we kind of knew that, but her reaction, do you guys think that's a weird reaction to have, being like, he needs me, it's fine, like, it's not a turnoff to her, as most girls would probably be like, okay, back off. How do you guys feel?
Some people don't like it, some people do. I think it's I think we've all had that boyfriend or girlfriend that's been like that. We've either been that girlfriend or we've had that boyfriend that was calling all, and you're like, oh my god, give me some space, or you're like, oh, they, like, really care. They're really concerned.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I were in London and someone knocked on the door and it was security, I would think something happened to someone in my family, mm-hmm. and I would go nuts.
Yeah.
I would be so mad.
That's a really good point.
I would be so pissed. So I don't... I don't know. It's a little... but they're still together, happy on Instagram.
Yeah.
So maybe... I don't know. Maybe they're in love. Maybe you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. Maybe he's wonderful to her, but I would be like, pissed.
It's, I mean, I'm not. To me, that reads, that specifically reads controlling, not needy. Because she's saying, "Oh, I used to be so nurturing because I was less social. Now I'm more social." He doesn't like it. Like, it reads to me like he wants to dominate. What she's doing, or keep tabs on her, which I
but then either he goes is not healthy,
and then he goes out to the club though
without her,
without her,
right?
So she's obviously confident enough in herself. So he's either not, or he's cheating on her. So he's doing the checkup because he's projecting what he's doing onto her, which I hope is not the case.
And Ramona said she thought he's insecure.
Yeah. So. Oh, of course he is. Any man that's not that secure, that's with the woman who's super secure, is going to be even more insecure because you don't sense that they're like needing you every 2 seconds, and that makes you be like, okay, well, why don't they need me? And then you get in your own head about it. So not too surprising, but still pretty interesting because she was there. You know, for a sentimental reason.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So she might not answer every second. You kind of have to.
Right.
I almost felt like a little bit like she felt like she was getting over John. Just she was like, I put my ring on and I went to London and I feel so much better. Kind of like, I don't really need him anymore as my crutch.
Okay. That's interesting. I felt more like it was that, and that's a really good point, but I felt like more like it was like she still has such a bond to John, to her husband, her late husband, that no matter what she does, she's always going to be first and foremost, like, his wife still. Yeah. I kind of felt like, just because she's like, you know, they have that understanding. Even though he didn't want her to get back together with somebody, he didn't want her to get with anybody else, she put the ring on. She's like, I'm connected with you now, and it's going to be a more healthy connection. It's not going to be just, like, so sad and depressed. It's going to be like, hey, like, you're with me. Let's live my life together. I guess, in a sense, you're my angel, whatever she's thinking in her head. Putting a ring on is kind of welcoming those memories back into your life, I would think. Not suppressing them as much, but I don't know. It's such a sad, it's so sad, and, you know, I guess you have to all grieve in your own way, and so for them, they're doing the right thing, because they seem like they're in a better place. And then we have the Pop of Color event. So Kristen had her her nail colors, which were mostly like a, as you mentioned, neutrals. They looked great, of course, and it must be a really proud moment for her. Did you guys think so that it was, what did you guys think of the event and seeing the Ili Tahari and Heather's reaction to meeting him? And
I thought it was such a beautiful presentation. I really like these presentations now that they do like this, where the models are kind of posing and they're, you know, slowly turning for everyone to see, rather than having the girls, like, stomp down the runway and look anorexic and, like, look pissed off at the world. And it's like, you know, they can just kind of be, like, the mannequin that they're supposed to be, and it's about the clothes. Yeah. So I thought it was beautiful, and I was excited for Kristen. They didn't use any of the colors, but the neutrals are gorgeous, and I'm excited that we're going to see her next week.
Possibly.
Maybe. Sorry.
Hopefully.
Did I spoil anything?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was really, really, really amazing to see something that she created on these models. It's really cool. I have my own nail polish line. Like, who doesn't want to say that?
Yeah.
Right.
And then we have anything else you guys want to talk about in that situation, though?
Oh, I just thought I thought it was funny when Heather and Carol started joking about Sonia's line. They're like, well, we have a show. Our friend's show is tonight, and we're so excited to see it. And they're like, well, we're not sure she's been working on it for years or 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. That was really funny.
I just thought that was a really good joke.
That was a really good
joke. Us as the viewers being just as confused as them I know. The whole time about, where is this line?
So funny. But so, okay, so then we go into the grand fashion show that ended up being amazing. So fabulous. Clothes were beautiful. We looked them up. Definitely on the more expensive side for us, at least. I mean, some people might think that's really affordable. Inexpensive. But it was beautiful, but I don't understand how it even happened. Because if this was not editing and this was really how it was backstage, I don't know how anything ended up working out in the end. Did you guys think that this was like the interns that were just not listening? Or do you think that there was a form of miscommunication from Sonia that everybody, because it seemed like everybody was confused. And this, it probably trickles down, I would think.
This wasn't interns doing this. This is the people she's hired to do this. And I can't remember if it was Megan or Fern that had said, what did you do the night before?
Did you prep any of this?
Mm-hmm. No, there were interns, though. Because remember, she said to one of the interns, like, if I don't teach you like, something like with the brunette.
Yeah, but I thought that girl was also at the meeting, wasn't she?
Oh, the really young one?
Yeah. The brunette. I didn't see her. I don't know. Maybe she was. But regardless, she was an intern. She was there. And she was supposed to do some stuff that it looked like she wasn't doing.
There were so many things that could have been done the night before. Yes, you can't do the model's hair the night before. Yes, you can't dress them and put them. But everything... I've done a couple fashion shows, and everything when you are wearing an outfit is set for you, ready to go in order, like either on a rack hanging with the jewelry attached to it. Now, if it was $1 million worth of jewelry, maybe they wouldn't have that set up because they would be afraid of the model stealing it. I don't know.
Or somebody stealing it.
I can't say that. But everything is set up and ready to go, and it is such a quick turnaround backstage. You literally lift your arms. Someone pulls your... You cannot be... There is no modesty at all because someone is literally dressing you. And it's really, really, really quick. Right. So to see them actually being able to have conversations, that's not normal. And I think any, especially a New York Fashion Week model, would know that that would not be normal. I've just done a couple little ones, so I'm not saying
No, that's any, okay. We appreciate you sharing any of your, you know, anything that you've
done. It's just, it is chaos, but it's
like organized
chaos.
Yes.
You feel frantic.
They know what's going to happen.
Right.
But the fact that she said people were, she's like, I don't see any chignons. Why is that not done? That is on your thing. Just the way your makeup is supposed to be done is all on a sheet showing you what your hair and makeup is supposed to look like. So all that is done. So the fact that that's not being followed and the fact that the place cards and everything wasn't set. Who was doing all this? Yeah, why wasn't this done?
Yeah, that guy was upset. No, the guy was upset. He was like, don't yell at me. Like, he was like...
Was freaking out.
It seemed like no one was taking responsibility for who was supposed to do what. It seemed like things were written down, but no one took those tasks and gave them to people to do.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Like, was it so DIY that Sonia was the only one in charge?
Definitely could not be the case. That would be...
I just thought it was crazy that she's running around placing the place cards on the seats.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And all the names weren't printed out. And it's just that she should have been doing nothing but looking at the models ready before they're about to go out and being like, yes, let's do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then we see Bethany and Heather talking in the audience when there was a little bit of a delay and they said, you know, you can't have that happen. So we see them saying why you can't have that happen and the audience saying it's just you just don't do that at a professional fashion
show. Disrupts the flow.
Right. And then we see flip side. I love when they edit it like this. And they see Sonia backstage all of a sudden and she's like, excuse me, they can wait. They have drinks. I want it to look perfect. Take their time. She has no idea that this is not supposed to happen. So you see the differences. Despite it all, I mean, I still thought it looked beautiful.
Yeah.
And people were happy. They were having drinks. It didn't seem like anybody was getting up and leaving.
There's no denying that her show itself was beautiful.
Yes.
Like the ladies were saying, the staircase. Yeah. What an entrance. You know, all the clothing was really well put together. She obviously, we all know, Sonia has style. So everything was really, really, really beautiful. It was just kind of a mess.
So would you agree that most of the effort was placed in picking the models and making sure, you know, they looked great and picking out the place where they were at versus the statistics of, like, who's doing what? Because it seemed like everything looked so beautiful, and maybe that's where all the attention was really put into versus the organization part of it.
She didn't deviate authority.
Yes, right.
She just had to basically tell certain people, this is your job, this is your job, this is your job, and you follow down suit. And there's always someone to back up the other person.
Which should have been done days ago.
Now, we also don't know, more than likely, there was probably another fashion show before Sonia's, too. So some of that stuff can't be done, maybe right then and there, and maybe their fashion show ran late, and so then they get rushed in or something like that.
Yeah.
But it should still trickle down up the chain of command
and
power.
Of course,
So if the person that was supposed to be taking care of the seats and taking care of the printouts, they didn't do that, then the next person said, okay, we took care of the printouts, but not all the names were there, so now I'm going to take care of that, and so forth. So it all does get done, but it just seems like nothing was organized. Yeah.
I think the only positive, or not positive, well, positive in the sense that there was a chance that Bethany had with that whole pause that she could talk to Ramona, because it was probably really awkward sitting next to her and being so upset. Bethany is the first to know that you don't have to wait for the cameras to, you know, to confront somebody, but she was right in this because she felt like she needed to set the record straight because there was going to be potentially some bad press coming because of something Ramona said. So Heather was the one on their vacation that told Bethany that Ramona was saying that she cheated on her husband and that she's a cheater. Mm-hmm. And obviously Heather told Bethany that this was said, and Bethany was upset, rightfully so. And Ramona kind of got wishy-washy, went back and forth, apologized, then said, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, or, you know, well, people ask me, 10 people call me about you, say all these things about you. And it just, it was a back and forth that I didn't feel really got through to Ramona. Bethany was really trying to. Did you guys feel that there was a better way that Bethany could have handled that situation in order to get through to Ramona?
Yeah, she could have stopped talking about the dresses. Like, yeah. It was yes. So obvious that she was pissed about something else. Mm-hmm. And then when it finally came
such
out,
a
I was
good
like,
point.
That's okay, that's what it's about. And if she had just focused on that, and, you know, I don't think Ramona has the ability to be introspective and think, like, you know, why did I say that at the time? Maybe I said it because of this. I don't think she'll ever get there. Mm-hmm. But to get through to her a little bit would have been more effective if she just didn't bring up the dresses, didn't bring up any... Don't knock her New Beginnings party. Just be like, this is what I'm pissed about.
Right. I'm surprised Ramona didn't flip out.
Yeah.
And say, like, this has nothing to do with this. Like, let's stick to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But like you said, that was really bothering her, and she did it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then... It really fired her up badly. I guess for me, I just felt like overall seeing Bethany get upset about that. Bethany then tried to explain to Ramona how even if she did this, this, and this, and it was like really terrible things that she didn't do, but she said, even if I did do this, this, and this, why are you calling people about it? And then that's where we saw like Ramona, the apologizer, kind of mm-hmm. come into play. So...
But her apology's so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
When you sit there and go, I'm so sorry, and your eyes are closed, no, you're not even making eye contact.
She's going, cut me, crucify me, like, what? What kind of an apology is that?
I don't understand. Right.
You don't need to bring Jesus into it. Honey. Right. It had nothing to do with you talking smack about
exactly. Right. Exactly. Thank you, Megan. Thank you. It's a really good point.
I mean...
Do you think that Bethany bringing up the girl that she knows... Apparently now we know that she knows the girl that Mario cheated with.
Whoa. That was a stinger.
Who else knows? Someone else we know found out... We read that somebody else knew her as well.
I'm not sure.
I forget.
I feel like we did. Yeah.
Ramona's... Guy's right. Business partner was
stepping
her too.
This
too,
girl
maybe.
Knows everybody.
Yeah.
So Bethany's Ooh. Like, I didn't bring that up, and people asked me about it. I kept my mouth shut, which she obviously did because we never read about her knowing mm-hmm. this girl. Mm-hmm. But it was just she put a little bit in there to let us know that she is a loyal, good friend and that it was not reciprocated.
Mm-hmm. I felt like she really did kind of rattle Ramona because Ramona stopped with the constant, like, I'm sorry, like fake I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And started being like, I'll pay you for the dresses.
Oh, yeah.
Because Bethany wouldn't give up on the dresses. So I don't know. It was strange.
The dresses.
I thought that each one of them kind of remained, to me, like I was surprised how calm they were right when it ended. When, you know, it's like, I feel like Bethany's the type to be like, I have to get some fresh air. I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, or one of them storm off.
Yeah.
And they both just sat there like, okay, fine, it's over. I don't want to talk anyway. And I was just, I don't know.
You're right.
I thought it was such an escalated level, and they remained eerily calm to me.
Yes. Agreed.
Because Bethany's bringing up something that happened way before this season started filming, and she waited until now to get upset about it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess it was like three strikes.
She said, the girl. I must have missed that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe mm-hmm. she's bringing it up because of the New Beginnings party.
Well, she said, Ramona had said, people are calling me at home asking me about it. About what she said about Bethany cheating.
On her first
and then
husband,
she said,
yeah.
Well, people call me and ask about Mario's thing, and I personally knew the girl.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, go back and watch, because it makes, and I bet you if we Google it, Bethany's not going to go any further than that, because she's classy.
Yeah, I give Bethany credit.
I can't believe Ramona didn't dig into that and say, like, mm-hmm. Oh, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, so exactly.
But I think that whole New Beginnings party and Ramona saying she's trying to throw this for herself, I think that just rattled Bethany, because she's mm-hmm. like, wait, what have you changed? This isn't right. What new beginning are you starting? Because mm-hmm. you're still playing by your old rules.
Mm-hmm.
When you make a change and you're a fresh person and you're like, okay, I'm ready. Like, I'm willing to make these changes. I'm not going to falsely apologize anymore. Or I'm not going to create drama where there isn't any. And then you do that and you want to have a new beginning party. I think all your friends or people would be like, yeah, let's do this. Bethany hasn't seen any of these changes being mm-hmm. implemented.
Right. I think I wrote down.
So she's just calling her out on it.
So maybe Ramona is like, all right, maybe I'll still apologize all the time and I'll still cause drama and I'll still be myself, but I'm not going to be married anymore. Maybe she just means, like, I'm getting a divorce party.
It's so true. And I think Heather, having told Bethany this, is a real indication that we are seeing a lot more Heather-Bethany bonding, although it could also be the reason we see the argument, argument that happens next week. Yeah, so could be that Heather didn't want her to say something, and I'm sure Ramona's going to go fire at Heather, like, so upset at Heather, just fire right at her and yell at her for doing this.
There's a lot of fights next week.
anything else you guys wanted to add before we do predictions?
I had one little thing about the comment about the bartender situation from the week before.
Yes.
Because as most of us in Los Angeles here, we are all doing multiple jobs to survive out here. Yes, and people do this in New York because it's even more expensive in New York to live than it is in Los Angeles. And so for Ramona to say this guy was just a bartender and, you know, she wanted someone that had a degree and was, you know, had aspirations as an actress, as an aspiring actress and bartender and karaoke host and children's princess, as I have five different jobs, I'm doing all these things so that I can go for what I want. I do have a college degree. I almost double majored. I had a theater degree and I couldn't decide if I wanted a mass comm degree. So I literally almost have a double major. I worked 40 hours a week my senior year in college, graduated with honors, and was involved as the cheerleading captain and in lead in most of our plays. It has nothing to do with the fact that just because I'm a bartender now means that I'm less of a person than a person that's scientist or anything else, or that I can't add to a conversation.
Absolutely.
So I just felt like that was such a rude and demeaning way to say that about somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that there aren't bartenders out there that are lazy but sleep till 3 o'clock, that don't really give a crap about their day, and they say they're actors or whatnot, and they're really not trying to pursue something, because there's that in every single career that there is. Mm-hmm. But for her to demean somebody's job when that guy could be a really, really genuinely nice, good person. Mm-hmm. I was really proud of Bethany standing up for that guy.
Yeah, I was too. I think that was great. And I'm so glad you said that too, because I'm sure a lot of people took offense to that. So that's really cool that you said that. I think with that said, we should get into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, I'm going to say, I'm going to start here and just tell you guys that I think in terms of Luann next week, I think there's going to be some drama with Carol in some sort of argument pertaining to her new relationship, and I'm curious to see how that goes down. Mm-hmm. I think Carol's, like, up to here, has it up to here, and I think she's going to fire back, like, more than we would ever assume would happen, so...
I'm looking forward to round two in the ring between Bethany and Ramona. Because it looks like it keeps going. I think the beginning of the party.
It does.
Heather calling Bethany a beep. That's going to be crazy. There's just so much arguing next week. We're back to the drama again.
It's a true finale.
We might need a drink next week, ladies.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I think that John does not propose in the end
to Dorinda,
but it's going to be a very nerve-wracking lead-up to it.
Yes,
because
they
both looked very nervous.
Yes. Really good. They'll leave that. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, and awesome. I think we're going to do an amazing, we're going to have an amazing show next week. And where can we find you, Megan, starting with you?
Okay, Instagram, Twitter... What am I forgetting? I downloaded Snapchat. Maybe I'll start snapping a little this week. It's all at Megan Stecher, MEGANSTECHER.
And you guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wegner, LYNDSEYWEGNER, or my blog, lindsaywegner.blogspot.com.
And this is Fern Ronay. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Fern Ronay, RONAY. And tweet me if you are interested in my book that will be coming out later this year, the story of a single 29-year-old Manhattan lawyer who's guided by her dead Italian grandparents.
I'm so excited. Can I tweet you with that?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm right here. Hi, tweet me. Okay. And this is Ashley. You can find me on Twitter at Ashley Daniels, Periscope Ashley Daniels, Instagram Miss Ashley Daniels, and lots of other ones. But those are the most... fun ones that I'm on right now. And thank you so much for listening and watching. And we will see you next week for another recap. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.